how we live, meaning that we believe that God is truly God and the Bible is truly His Word, it should affect the way we live. Because let's be honest, we live in a world that places little emphasis on conviction. But the word conviction simply means to be convinced. Because when we are convinced about something, it's hard to change our minds. When we are convinced about something, it actually affects the way we act. If I'm convicted that and convinced that same-sex marriage is wrong, and I am, you can't do nothing to change my mind. If I'm convinced that Jesus is Lord and nobody can be saved other than through Him, and I am, you can't change my mind about it. If I'm convinced that the Bible is the Word of God, and I am, it will order my life, that you can't change my mind. Because as people of God, we are to be governed by biblical convictions. In other words, we should base what we believe to be right or wrong on the Word of God. Because, my brothers and sisters, we shouldn't judge things just by our opinions. I heard the man say the other night, say our opinions just like everybody got a nose. And everybody got an opinion, meaning everybody got a nose, everybody got an opinion. We should also base our doctrinal convictions on the Bible, or what the Bible says, because far too long the people of God have lived by emotions and preferences, and we have allowed our...
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's keep that praise going this morning. Thank you for being here, and if you're joining in with us, we invite you to praise and worship the Lord this morning with us as well. We're just here for one thing, and that's to praise and worship Him. So we say, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh,
see, oh.
Shout your praise from my heart to your ears. All the glory is yours, now forevermore. Here I worship, all we can give is to you. We're here for you.
So we dance. We sing. We worship.
Say, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh.
clap those hands, clap. Hey, clap, 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 come on. Clap, 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 come on.
If you don't come, we won't move. We desperate, Lord, for a touch from you. If you don't come, we won't move. We desperate, Lord, for a touch from you. If you don't come,
you don't come.
To worship the Lord. Thank you, Father.
Casting crown, lifting. Say casting crown,
casting crown,
lifting hands,
lifting hands,
bowing high,
bowing high,
all we've come to,
all we've come to do.
Casting crown,
casting crown,
lifting hands,
lifting hands, bowing high,
all we've come to,
all we've come to do.
Say
Adam.
And all these saints and angels, they bow before from you are all things. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
You know he deserves to come on and sing, you're worthy.
Amen. Come on, help me thank God for our worship team. What a blessing. He is worthy of all of our praise. I want to say thank you all for being in church this morning. We welcome every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. We say thank you to those of you who are live streaming with us. We love you. Thank you for joining us today locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bible with you, will you please open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah? The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse number 3. book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verse number 3. The Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of God. Grass will wither, flowers will fade, but the word of God will stand forever. Thank you for all of our families that are gathered here, all of our friends. Thank you for those who are watching on television or radio. Thank you for those who are live streaming with us. Thank you for the common thing that binds all of us together, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. Help me to preach the gospel this morning. Use me as a channel of blessing to your people. Help our hearing. Glorify yourself in this house. And Lord, we thank you for miracles, signs, and wonders in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Today I'm going to be sharing with you on the topic titled, How to Get in Touch with God. Have you ever been in a situation where you're trying to reach somebody, but you just don't have the contact number? It's good to know somebody that can share with you how to get in touch with Almighty God. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, today I will begin a series of teaching on the subject of prayer. That's what we're talking about. I want to help brothers and sisters to know how to get in touch with God. We live in times when there's a lot of drama going on. We need to know how to pray. So in this series, I'm going to be teaching you about what is prayer, who and who is called to pray. We're going to look at why in the world do we have to pray. I thought God knows everything. Why do we have to pray? We're also going to look into, where do we pray? And we need to learn how to pray. Today, I'm going to begin the process. I will lay the foundation. So this is more of an introduction today. I will discuss the basics of this topic. And the emphasis today is going to be on what in the world is this thing called prayer? First, let me mention up front that a lot of people all over the world pray. It's not just Christians. The Buddhists pray. Muslims pray. Believe it or not, Hindus pray. Of course, Christians pray. And I believe even the atheists who don't believe in God pray. They may not be praying to the same God. Some pray even to ancestors. Some pray to idols. But we pray to the Creator of heaven and earth. Our Father, God, who is in heaven. through Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, Pastor, why did you say it is pray? Well, you wait until some crisis happens and something bad happens. Even those who believe in God, they say, oh, God. You never hear any of them say, oh, me. It's always God. So when, I'm sure you will ask the question, if everybody prayed like you said, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Christian, the Muslim, even the atheists, then why we need to talk about prayer? Everybody's already praying. Well, we need to talk about prayer because we're going through so much drama in our society now, we need to intensify our prayer life. Am I right about it? Another reason why we need to talk about prayer is because a lot of people are praying, but they don't know how to pray. If I pass the microphone to everybody in the house, and if you would tell the truth, most of you will admit you can do better in your prayer life. So we need to learn how to pray. Another reason is because I have noticed that our world is going the wrong direction. We're having less and less time to pray because we are busy staying connected. Connected to what? You're busy Facebooking. You're busy Instagramming. You're busy YouTubing. You'd be amazed how many of us got to have the TV on round the clock. You can't even sleep without the TV. And many people will have their earplugs. You can't even talk to your children anymore. There's always something they're listening to. People constantly on the telephone. People constantly texting. I have one of my children, she can close her eyes and be texting with full speed. I said, baby, how did you do that? How do you even see the letters on your phone? She's just that good. I said, Lord, have mercy. I have to look at the letters and put my glasses on. We are too busy being connected. So busy with all these gadgets, some of us will be texting and we'll run into a brick wall. Some of us will drive off the highway because we are busy texting. We're busy running our mouth because we're too busy getting connected. I shared with my church this morning that I used to think this is just the younger generation. But it's not just young people. Even adults, even old folks, senior citizens, ain't that something? Always on the phone, always text messaging, always watching TV. People move from show to show to show. And I say, Lord, have mercy. What is going on with this world? And as a man of God, I see that we are becoming powerless because we don't spend time with God. We spend time with all these other gadgets. That is why I always tell you, we have big houses, but we ain't got no power. We drive nice cars, but we ain't got no power. Amen. You'll be amazed. We have become so powerless, we cannot even pray headache out of a mosquito. we got to call 911 because we are powerless. Ladies and gentlemen, I come to suggest to you, if you're going to be a strong Christian, you must find time alone with God. If you don't hear anything else I have to say, grab hold of that revelation. So you better get off of Facebook and put your face in the book of the law. This is the secret. Not your Instagram. Not your text messages. Not your social media. You better learn to disconnect the TV and disconnect the internet and spend time and get connected with Jesus Christ. I submit to you, the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. So this is not some kind of fancy idea that I just come up with. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1, the Bible says, men and women should always pray and not faint. In other words, this should be a regular practice in your life. The book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Even when we come to church like this, you need to know the primary duty, the primary function of the church is prayer. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7 says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And that's why I can tell you with confidence, the difference between failure and success in life is your prayer life. Most of the struggles you're going through right now is due to one thing, lack of a strong prayer life. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is full of people that learn to pray in the Bible. Abraham prayed for Abimelech, and Abimelech got healed. Moses prayed for all of Israel. God got mad, wants to destroy all of them, and the whole nation was spared. Joshua prayed in the middle of battle one time and held the whole sun. Not to move. He said, no darkness until we win this battle. And sure enough, God answered his prayer. Hannah prayed, hallelujah, until she got her baby. David prayed until he defeated the giants. Elijah prayed. An ordinary human being prayed. There be no rain for 3 years and 6 months. And one person held up the whole earth. You see prayer after prayer throughout the Bible. Even Jesus prayed. The Bible says something about him. He has a habit every day before anybody get up. Hallelujah. That's right. I like that word, custom. It was a regular practice. He would disappear for hours just to pray. And the Bible says when he will come out, when the disciples will see him, he come out swinging in power. The demons run. Even death cannot stop him. He's just doing amazing things. What is his secret? A strong prayer life. He prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed even on the cross. The disciples noticed this so much that they ask him, sir, teach us how to pray. You remember one time when Peter was arrested? Peter was a preacher like me, you know. He got arrested in the book of Acts chapter 12. And the Bible said the church prayed. Pastor Dayton, I believe today the reason why I'm still alive is because you guys were praying. I'm just being honest with you. These things work. There's nothing magical about the Bible. It will work if you work it. The church prayed for Reverend Peter. Herod had been killing other preachers. But the Bible says in the middle of the night, the chains were broken. He was put in maximum security jail. But he got free. Hallelujah. Hey, Jesus, thank you. The truth I say unto you, the people that control this world are not the people you're looking up to. It's not the president. It's not the queen. It's not the kings of this world. It's not the dictators of this world. The people who rule the world are people who know how to pray. I never will forget when I first came to this community in 1995. I went and introduced myself, and I told the mayor, true story, you should check with your mayor. I said, I am new in town, and because I'm here, your city is saved. Man, that man looked at me and said, what kind of cuckoo is this? Because I know the true power is not at the city hall. It's in any man or woman that know how to pray. Are you all still here? The truth be told, you and I were made to rule and reign. It's not the mayor. He's not the governor. You, every one of you. I know that. Because in the book of Genesis, when God finished creating you and me, he said, I'll put you in charge. He said, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion, dominate, rule. Those people you're looking at, elected officials, they're king for a day. If you can develop a prayer life, you will rule and reign this planet Earth. And what is so good about this prayer is that God also gives you the tool to rule. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, he assigned angels to work for you. The Bible says, are they not ministering spirits who are sent to minister for the heirs of salvation? But the only way you're going to activate those angels is through your prayers, because they only respond to the word. Are you all still here? Please take note, no man is greater than his or her prayer life. No person is greater than his prayer life. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what title. If I'll be honest with you, and I don't mind saying this, I am a pastor's pastor. I have a lot of pastors that are pastors, you know. And then I make money on the side consulting with other churches. Amen. Ain't no shame in my game. Amen. They pay me to find out, how do I do this? How do I do that? And usually the first thing I do is to get the data of their ministry. But the most important data I'm looking for is their prayer ministry. It's not how many people are on church roll. That's fake. The strength of any church. You show me how many people come to your prayer ministry. Prayer, I can tell you how strong your church is. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, I just tell you a little thing about myself. Hallelujah. What is prayer? Prayer is not magic. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is not some incantation that you do. No, you're tripping. Prayer is not genie in the bottle that you can just pop out and God just show up and say, hey, your wish is my command. What do you want now? No, that's not what prayer is. God is not your magic wand. God is not your secret incantation. And God is not your genie in the bottle. Prayer is not a chant or spell or any of these things religion is telling you. And I said to my church this morning, prayer is not a fire extinguisher that you wait until there's a crisis and you pull it out. And say, that's not prayer. I'm always amazed, even in my church, I'll be keeping up with emails and calls and text messages. They have group messages. They will text you and say, okay, it's time to pray now. Pray for brother so-so and so. But that's not what prayer is about. You don't wait until there's trouble. And then you say, everybody, let's pray. Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. Prayer is what you do every day. It's a lifestyle. And if you pray during the week, you won't have to pray too long on Sunday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One time the governor, you know I have a lot of respect for these people in authority, and he issued an emergency, everybody, we're going to take this date and pray. It's very important. Well, I never do that. You know why? Because you've been praying every day. Prayer should be a routine in your life. Folks will wait until something is going down. They say, okay, now the hurricane is coming. They told us it's going to arrive 2 p.m., Monday morning, Monday afternoon. Everybody pray. You tripping, dog. Long before the hurricane came, you should be praying. Whether there's storm or no storm, you should be praying. Every day is a day of prayer. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. God's been so good to me. Every day he's blessing me. You can't wait until you're in trouble. Prayer is a lifestyle. People will wait until mama gets cancer. And then they start calling everybody. Text message. Okay, now Houston, we got a problem. It's time to pray. Really? I even heard people say, all we can do right now is pray. I see if prayer is something you do as a last resort. Now the doctor say there's nothing else you can do. All we can do now is pray. And then everybody say, oh, I didn't know Sister Susu and so has gotten that bad. Prayer is not your last resort. Prayer should be your first choice. Every day. Ladies and gentlemen, you wake up in the morning, you pray. Lord, I thank you. In fact, before you get out of your bed, you pray. Lord, I thank you. David said, I went to bed last night. I woke up this morning because you, the Lord, sustained me. Thank you. Hallelujah. He's not going to wait for no counselor to come. While you're brushing your teeth, Lord, I thank you that I have some teeth left. Amen. Do you know some people don't have no teeth? No, don't look at nobody now. I mean, just saying. Say, Lord, I thank you that I still got some teeth to chew. You get in your car, you say, Lord, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe before you buy any car, you should pray. Before you take any job, you should pray. Before you go on a date with anybody, you should pray. And you better pray before you marry Brother Baba. If not, you're going to need counseling. Oh, goodness. Even before you eat. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? True story, I went to the restaurant one time. You know, I used to defend people that are disabled, people that are mentally ill, and that's what I did for 20 years. The Lord rewarded me so much. He said, if you will speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, I'll bless you. And I took it and run with it. He blessed my socks off. If I share with you what I got, you'll be scared. And it came for serving people who have no voice in the society. But the Lord judged me one day. I went to the restaurant, and I was getting ready to eat. And all of a sudden, somebody was waving at me at the kitchen. Well, I didn't know. I just thought maybe it's just. Then I found out one of my clients is the one cooking. I said, Lord. So my flesh said, now we're going to fast today. No eating. And the Holy Spirit, true story, the Holy Spirit judged me. He said, what I call clean, how dare you call it unclean? He said, don't you pray before you eat the food? So what's your problem? Oh, now I got it. Now I took my order, and then I made a special request. I said, the person I want to cook my food is this person. They said, nobody tell us who's going to cook here. I said, no, today I want my own chef. I've learned how to be blessed. Pray before you eat your food. I don't care who is cooking it. Prayer should be not your last resort, but your first choice, your routine choice. What is prayer? Ladies and gentlemen, for the sake of time, I will say, number one, prayer is your dedication to God. What do I mean by dedication? I mean that your dependency on God. Every day, you ought to become vulnerable before God. You ought to let God know, I cannot do anything without you. Never get so sophisticated that you think you can make it on your own. Are you listening to me? The biggest problem for humanity is pride. You think you're all right. You think you're all that. You think you can make it. You don't need nobody's help. Have you ever seen young ladies say, I don't need no man? Have you ever seen young men say, I don't need to go to church, I'm all right? That's how arrogant we have become. That's how self-defeat we become. When you get to the point that you think you don't need nobody's help, you are really a time bomb waiting to explode. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You are the branches. Except you abide in me, you won't make it. Without me, you can do nothing. And here you are, you have a three-bedroom house with a garage door and a cat, and you think you're all that? Amen. Look at where the president is today. What can any power cannot sustain you? COVID-19 is no respect of anybody. You don't care if you're white or black. You don't care if you're rich or poor. You don't care if you're the king or the queen. You don't care if you're the senior pastor or the youth pastor. Are you listening to me? We need to depend on God. Amen, somebody. Lord, I can't make it without you. Lord, I need you. Like the ocean needs water, I need you. Every hour, every minute, every second. Ladies and gentlemen, so when you get up in the morning, you say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for another day. When you get on in your car, say, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to beat this traffic. When you get to work, you know some supervisors don't like you. You say, Lord, help me through the day. When you get to your desk and folks trying to stir up mess, you say, Lord, help me deal with this heaven. When folks just want to start a mess, I don't know about you, I don't have a choice. I have to pray every day. I was coming to church this morning. Somebody almost hit me. I said, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for sparing my life. I came in the parking lot. I see all this nice car. I begin to pray again. Lord, thank you that the members of my church have a ride. I walk into the house of God. I saw people at 8 a.m. I know what it is to come to church. And there was nobody except the worship team and myself. I saw people, I said, Lord, I thank you. It's no fun preaching to an empty room. Don't let no preacher fool you. Every day is a day of prayer. Even when you leave work, say, Lord, I pray. I don't want to get home and my wife start another mess. It's been a long day. I just want to go home quietly and lay my behind. I just want to rest. Lord, help me through the day. Even before you get in bed, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. I was in the hospital for a few days for treatment. And then I got home. I got in my bed. Whoo, Jesus. I never realized a bed made a difference.
Yes, sir. Especially when it's yours.
I got in my bed. I said, Lord, I can't thank you enough. Amen. I sleep like a baby. Amen. I roll over. Ah, oh, Jesus, help me. Prayer should be routine, not what you do when you're in crisis. Tell somebody, I got it. Prayer is also your communication with God. Amen. It is very, very important that you learn to communicate with God. So many families are broken today because of no communication. So many parents are not in control of their children today because of poor communication. So many people lose their job, not because they don't qualify for the job, but because they don't know how to talk to people. Are you all still here? It is so important that you know how to communicate. Prayer is communication with God. And you cannot communicate with somebody you have no relationship with. I wonder, what is your relationship with God? I know you're in church today, but are you in relationship with God? Jesus was talking to his disciples in John 15:15. He said, before now, I call you servants. You know why I call them servants? Because they have no relationship. Some of them were just falling for food. But after they build a relationship with Jesus, he said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. Then he turned around and he said, ask anything in my name, I will do it. Prayer is communication with God. But to be able to communicate effectively, you need a relationship with God. You know what the problem is? I love preaching second service so I can be free. The problem is that we are more consumed with religion than with relationship. Many of you, you are so consumed. Oh, I don't want to smoke. Oh, I don't want to smoke wee-wee. Yeah. I don't want to be... Don't want to drink alcohol. I don't want to have sex with nobody. And you just go, all these rules, as if that's what's going to please God. Amen. A lot of those rules is for your own good. Has nothing to do with relationship with God. Amen. Relationship is where you learn to love God with your heart, with your soul, with your mind. Even David, an adulterer, and he still call him, that's my favorite. He said, that's a man after my own heart. Moses, a murderer. Jesus said, look, consider Moses. God said, I've never met any man on earth that has the same spirit of Moses, that have the humility like Moses. So you're too busy doing outside things. Jesus told everybody, say, you religious people, that's why you are heading to hell. You're too busy cleaning the outside of the cup, but the inside of the cup is filthy. Religion will send you to hell. Develop a relationship with God. God, you know what he judges? The motive of your heart. Of what good if you don't go to casino, if you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't run the street, you got all these things, but your heart ain't right. You mean, you're hateful. You have unforgiveness. I said to my church this morning, make no mistake about it. The tool that God has set in place to bless you is prayer. Prayer is God's chosen method to bless you. Don't mess that up. And isn't it sad that's the least attended event in the church? We'll come to a concert. That's not what he chose to bless you. You know I love music. I listen to music all day. But that's not the tool that God wants to use to bless you. Prayer is the tool, is the method. You can't go around and around. You have to learn to pray. If my people who are called by my name will sing another song, get you a mass choir. Get a citywide. One of my son in the Lord said, "Pastor, I need direction." I said, "What's up?" He said, "They're going to give me citywide revival. Should I take it?" He said, "I know you won't lead me wrong." I said, "Sure." He said, "Take it." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." He said, "We're going to build the biggest choir." I said, "Ah, time out, wrong answer." Then we begin to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Except the Lord build the house. Everyone that labors in vain. We focus too much on things that don't matter. As much as I love this building, all the decoration, all the fancy stuff, it doesn't worth a dime. Except you learn to spend time with God, you can miss out in the blessings of life. And the truth be told, there are some things God will not do for you, that God will not do for me, unless and until we pray. That is why James chapter 4 verse 2 says, "We receive not because we didn't ask." Many of you go around and say, "Oh, God knows what I need." Have you ever seen people be singing that song? "Lord, bless me. You know just what I need." And then they will even decorate. They'll say, "You know, you know, you know, you know, you know." Then the director, "Shh, everybody, look at me. Shh. You know, you know, you know, you know. Just what? Just. And they all die poor. Broke. Busted. Pay attention. This is a word church. In all of your getting, get understanding. Thank God for the building. Thank God for good singing. Thank God for church activities. But the most important thing, you better have